It's August the 2nd, 2015, in the Lucy Coleman studio here in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on God's great, good planet Earth. Taken back. Every week you hear about it. The killings, the mayhem, I call it, yeah, let's just leave the music playing just low in the background. Listen to a little funky flute grooves from the 60s and the 70s. I don't know what to say. University of Cincinnati police officer Ray Tensing was indicted Wednesday on a murder charge in the shooting death of Samuel DeBose. The article goes on and CNN says that if convicted, what do you mean if convicted? It was flat out murder. What do you mean if convicted? This police officer needs to be executed. I'm seriously. You know what? You guys are wondering why I don't do too many webcasts anymore, like every day, where I used to. If convicted, Tensing could go to prison for life. No. He should get the death penalty. That's it. Hamilton County Prosecutor Joe Dieters said in a news conference. Dieters played body camera footage of the traffic stop shooting, that is, that appeared to contradict Tensing's version of what happened. Of course, you look at that, you know. And if you black, you know. I'm not going to get into this Black Lives Matter. My life matters. Gee whiz. And I see on CNN it says DA on new developments in the Sandra Bland case. I was having a discussion with someone this weekend. Well, it was a person that recently had someone in her family die. Her husband recently died. And we went out to get a bite to eat. Since we're both faced with the same thing, the fatality of loved one. And she was telling me how empty she felt sometimes, how alone, and I shared with her that I understood that. Because when death takes place, your entire life, oh my, you know what that is, right? I don't know, people. I'm. I think of a 40-year-old man, his life is just cut off. And you know, everybody doesn't. Come on, man. For a license plate that was in the glove compartment? Stop should have never occurred. If you're doing law enforcement, what are you doing? Uh, the prosecutor said, I've been doing this for over 30 years, and this is the most asinine act I've ever seen a police officer make. Totally unwarranted, said Dieters. It's an absolute tragedy in the year 2015 that anyone would behave in this manner. It was senseless. That's what the prosecutor said. He's a white guy. And then it goes on and says that the prosecutor, who said that he was shocked when he first saw the video, was adamant that Du Bois, who is black, had not acted aggressively towards Tinsley, who is white. He had not acted aggressively, you see, and everybody got in their mind, well, not everybody. A lot of people got in the mind now that black people, because they're black, are aggressive and this and that, and that these white officers are terrified of these black people. No, you need to be terrified of these white officers with the power. And this is a college university cop, right? Okay. The article goes on and says that people want to believe that Mr. Du Bois had done something violent towards the officer, and he did not. He did not at all. And then the prosecutor said that he feels sorry for the family and what they'd lost. Now, let me talk about that a little bit, what they lost. What, damn, man. I don't care if the guy, you know, because on the video, one of the videos that I showed, they took out a bottle of liquor. It doesn't make any difference if the liquor bottle was open or unopened. The man didn't do anything wrong. The man did not deserve death. I mean, that's the most precious thing that a human being has. Thank God for that. God gives us life. I was telling a friend of mine yesterday that young people don't behave the way that we did when we were young. It's a different day and age that we live in, but it doesn't give you the right to shoot these people down like animals in the street. This is terrible. And this was a university cop. A reporter asked Dieters whether he thought Tinsley, the police officer, tried to mislead investigators into the incident, and the guy said, yes, he said. I think he was making an excuse for the purposeful killing of Du Bois, who was unarmed. And he says, Tinsley fatally shot Du Bois, who was 43 years old, during a July 19th traffic stop over an alleged missing license tag. The officer has said that he was forced to fire his weapon after almost being run over. And of course, you don't see that anywhere. The man didn't make any actions to run over the officer. This is ridiculous. See, because, listen, I used to work for the LAPD. I was in roll call with them. They have this mentality that they have to pull everything together. Well, we have to make our stories match, right? Yeah, because we're on the core and we have to. You know what? As ignorant as some of these rappers are, you know, like Snoop Dogg trying to take all that money out of the country, and he got held up because he's not allowed to have all that cash flowing like that. That shows how silly he is about laws in different countries with money. I don't know why a man would take all that money on him when he can just use a gold or a black label credit card for what he needed, if he needed to purchase anything. But to carry that amount of cash on him, that makes no sense at all. But that's Snoop Dogg, and that's the rappers. That's what they do. It's their right to do it. Now, it cost him some money, and good for him. You that stupid? You're going to pay a levy on that money or something? But just because he's stupid like that doesn't mean that he deserves to be shot. There's a lot of stupid people. And I'm not saying that Du Bois was stupid. I'm not saying that. I don't know anything about the man. The body camera, thank God they have these cops with these things on now, because without the body camera, it just would have been another black man murdered by some stupid. And you know what I saw? One of the deals, they had the cops' high school baseball coach try to come on and talk about how much of a nice boy he was. Yeah, me too. Until I do something completely asinine, stupid like that. You may be saying, Pastor John, where's your Bible quotes now? Where's your Bible quotes? You know, I've run out of Bible quotes for this country. I've run out of Bible quotes. If you're not living the Bible by now, you don't need to hear me give you a Bible verse. Really, you don't. You don't need me to go that way. If you've been to my website at all, I got enough. Oh my goodness, everybody trying to sell some food this morning. But no, I'm not going to quote anything. I guess these are the days that many of you would say that it's the safest time in the history of those that are called to be Christians, right? Nah. We mustn't accept this view of Western Christianity as a norm. It's not, because it's gotten thrown out the window here in this country. There must always be that biblical mandate from which one judges, but we can't do that in this country anymore, because most of our churches have been turned over to people that are swindlers, liars, and criminals. So we've got to ask the question of God concerning others that have lived before our time. How about the first century Christians have lived and reacted towards that when the Roman government came in their homes, confiscated their lands, their property rights, and everything else? Oh, man. When I think about, well, I think that this country's been lollygagging. Lollygagging about its moral decline. And I rightfully see everything just disappearing. I had a woman over 50 years old tell me that she can barely find a job to make a means of a living to take care of herself. I speak with young men all the time. The little monies that they make, if they make any at all, will not sustain their lives and sustain their living. I guess the churches, especially the evangelical church, has always been called upon to ride this white charger into town as this hot shot believer. God's going to take care of all of our woes and problems. But I'm telling you, the church isn't called to be a superstar. We're called to be a witness. And what I mean by that is to testify to the things that are right and wrong. In our society, we have raised up the title of a police officer, whether it be male or female, a big department like LAPD, or a little college campus thing of untrained boys with guns and weapons wreaking havoc on the community. And that is what the foolishness is, wreaking havoc on the community. And the police force has become just an occupying force in many of our inner cities and our large cities. They're occupying. And what I mean by that is they are being paid to keep the natives from getting restless and keep them within their perimeter, and to continuously, get this, harass them, write tickets against them, warrant things against them to keep them disabled from getting ahead. Let me share with you what I'm talking about. I'm constantly, always, and I know the people listen to my webcast, and they know that I'm not going to move out of the hood. I will never move out of here. I know a lot of these young men that grow up in these streets. I love these young cats. I really do. I was born and raised in this city. Man, I remember when the Harbor Freeway, when the 110 Freeway, look it up on your Google map, when the 110 Freeway was being, when the hole was dug, I was a little Boy Scout walking in the trenches before the 110 Freeway was put up, connected to the 5, connected to anything. That's how long I've been in the city. And a lot of these boys now that are men grown in this city, and this thing was here. That's all they know. I was here before it was here. I was here when they were just expanding the roadways. And I've watched the gradual decay of law, ethics, religion, faith, love. I watch it all just decay right in front of me, fall apart. Someone asked me last night, they said, so you're saying that you've seen your world just crumble. I said, yes, the world that I grew up in and that I was told that everything was just and right. I said, it's all a lie. It's all a lie. This prosecutor that spoke and said that it was a travesty of justice spoken by a white man, I have respect for that man because that man knows what he's looking at. And I expect the whole country to get behind that and say, that was asinine. That young man needs to be executed. I don't care anything about his family. He needs to be executed for what he did. If I committed a crime of such, I should suffer for that crime. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what humanity teaches. In any other democratic society, that person wouldn't get life imprisonment, but death. Since you've killed with a weapon, you should be killed by a weapon. There was a great scene in the movie Lawrence of Arabia. You know, Lieutenant Lawrence in this movie, he was one that defied religion. There was a famous saying in the movie where the Muslims were saying, it is written, and Lawrence is what they called him. He kept saying in the movie, it is not written. And what it was is that they were trying to, if you really see the story of Lawrence of Arabia, from what I understand, it really happened in history. Maybe a few of the things were different, but if you look at the movie, and I watch it because I play it in one of my classes in the college, but when you look at the movie, you can see the overtones in the movie. Because, yeah, Lawrence in the movie was a gay man, but very brilliant and a war strategist. See, don't get it twisted. He wasn't a trini, or whatever they call them. He wasn't that kind of a gay man. He was a gay man that was just like any other man, a barbarian. And one of the Arabs, while they were in their caravan, had fallen off of his camel, and he was left in the desert, and they didn't recognize it until they had gotten to the finish point. So Lieutenant Lawrence is going to go back and get the man. And so they said, you can't go back and get him. He said, it is written. If he fell off of his camel, and in our culture, he's gone. It was fate. It was karma. So Lawrence said, nah, none of that is real. And he jumps on a camel and he goes back into the hot desert to find this man. And during the film, they show the man stripping himself of all the clothing and everything because it's hot, sun is shining, he ain't got no water, he's dying. Lawrence goes all the way back there. Lawrence finds him. After a couple of days, they're waiting on Lawrence to come back, and they see him coming with this man on his back. He gave the man some water, and when Lawrence comes back, he's out of water. He's totally exhausted. And he looks at the Muslim men and he said, "It is not written." And Lawrence collapses. Well, I've always liked that movie, because what Lawrence did was prove the naysayers wrong. I'll tell you something about that. When I see what's written in the Bible, and I know the Bible teaches about everything, the Bible also teaches that when a man, when a nation, when an institution turns its back on God, and I'm not blaming, because you know what, when you look at this planet, when you look at global warming and everything, I used to laugh at that. Let me tell you something. When Bill Clinton was president and Al Gore came out with the book Earth in the Balance, I bought the book. I have it here somewhere in my library. It may be out in the other office. But Earth in the Balance, I bought it, and I recall I went on the radio and I would quote statements from the book, and I would just say, "Oh, this is asinine, blah, 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 blah." Because when I was following the evangelicals, it was this, they had this hatred against these Democrats. So I bought the book and I read the book, and I know what, you know, the VP was all about, and I know what Clinton was all about. And I've never been a liberal like that. I've been a liberal when it comes to people, but not a liberal when it comes to ideas, because I know that those, you know, I know that it's the more conservative ideas that holds our republic in check. Like, look at the person that's leading right now in this August of 2015 in the presidential race for the Republicans. Right now, it's Donald Trump. And why is he leading? He is leading right now because he's saying what true Americans need to hear. This is America. This is an open country, open to everybody to be and to do whatever they want to be and do. It couldn't be like that. That is not the way it was supposed to be. Now, since it was never supposed to be that way, and our country has become just a, how can I put it, a disgusting example of what justice is and what injustice is. And so now we're confronted with all of these killings, the mayhem, and the destruction of social ethics and social mores, that we cannot actually trust practically anything that not only our government says, we just can't trust it. It doesn't make any sense to trust the government that will do its citizens in that way, until we come to the point where we are all able to look at an incident and to not only say what needs to be said, but to do what needs to be done. We will find ourselves in a catch-22 situation. We'll find ourselves in that. In a catch-22 situation. And until we come to the point where we can admit this to be true, where we can not only admit this to be true, but confront it in our minds, we're done as a nation. We're done as a country. Our children see through it. Our children are going to become worse. I have lived to see people literally give up their own consciousness as to what is decent, real, and intelligent. They have given it over to foolishness in this country. And I've never seen such a void of, I hate to use the term righteousness, but a void of ethics in a society. And I'm right now at the vantage point that every time these stories come out, because, oh man, what was the latest one? A cop was executed last night. Yeah. Let me go to it, see. This little murder. Because people are not. You need to hear me on this. I mean, man, here's one right here. DC is sinking into the ocean. Yeah, right. You know what? That's global warming. Global warming. Everybody knows that. Let me pause this. But I want to play this article, and I want you to listen to it. And maybe you will catch on to it. Global warming is real. When you see what's happening with the weather patterns all around this country and everything else, it's not just God doing this. This is the judgment of God, which is spoken about in the Bible. You may not believe it, but it's spoken about. And as a believer, because I believe in that stuff, well, let me let you listen. Listen. Washington, D.C. sinks. That's what it says. It says it predicts Washington, D.C. will sink up to 6 inches in the next 100 years. Yes. Sea level rises in Chesapeake Bay has been faster at any time. The rising is twice of the global average. Geological transition called this forebulge collapse. And it happened during an area during the Ice Age. And the ice pushed the land up until it began melting. This is a natural occurrence that would have occurred without any kind of influence like that. Man, and the process is speeding up. Scientists encourage residents in the area to make precautions, to take precautions. We are really living in a crazy day and age. In a crazy day and age. I wanted to share something else with you, because that's not the only. A Memphis officer was killed during a traffic stop late last night. And I want you to hear this too, and so that you can see what's going on. Because see, when you got these cops going around killing people like that, murdering them like that, well, when the cops pull over somebody, somebody's going to start murdering them until the stuff stops. And there's more civilian people than cop people. Listen to this.
Right now, for whoever was responsible for fatally shooting a Memphis police officer overnight, 33-year-old Sean Bolton was the veteran police officer there in Memphis who was shot and killed, shot multiple times during a traffic stop. Police had a press conference yesterday saying that a citizen used the officer's radio to radio back into police to let them know that one of their own had been shot. He was rushed to the hospital where he later died. The mayor of Memphis addressing the public last night.
Listen to this.
This again evidences the fact that there are so many guns on our streets.
Wait a minute. Hold it. There's so many guns on the streets. You got guns in the hands of these cops that either are not trained or are ridiculously stupid. You cannot listen to this, and I hope that people don't have me down as some kind of unleashed terrorist that's coming on my website doing this. Wait a minute, a defamed preacher going around making commentary when he should be talking about sweet Jesus coming in the clouds. Let me tell you something. The most precious thing that God gives any of us is life, and we only have one. We only have one. I'm looking at this, the mayor, Cincinnati, talking. Well, don't let me talk about him. Let me keep playing.
In the wrong hands.
Guns in the wrong hands, right. In the wrong hands of policemen. They're shooting people in the head. Why do you think that cop got killed last night? Huh? But you saying they're in the wrong hands. What does that mean? You want them to take all the guns from us? And so you can... No. Keep talking, Mayor.
That's the key.
No, it's not the key, Mayor Warden. Mayor Warden, that is not the key to take away the citizens' guns, because if that happens, it's going to be all mayhem here. But that's what it's coming to, martial law.
And the men and women in blue have certain rules of engagement that they have to follow. But at any given minute in a 24-hour day, they're dealing with folks who have no rules.
Well, did the cop have any rules for killing that black man? See, now you talking about that. Well, you are in Memphis. Well, what about the cop in Cincinnati? Did he have any rules of engagement? What did the law enforcement officer that indicted him for murder say? So you see, there's some contradictions here because there is no standard to go by.
Of engagement.
The Memphis police director saying that this is the third police officer shot in the 4 years that he's been head of the Memphis Police Department. No description has been given of the suspect.
Of course, no description has been given. Because, see, some of these cops going to pull over some of these people, and some of these people have no Christ in them at all, no God in them, none. Some of these people don't even go to church, don't even know anything about righteousness and holy living and loving of their fellow man. They're like animals. What do you expect? You've kicked God out of the classrooms. Your children are now raised by, I don't know, women that are out of their minds. Because women run all of our school districts and create the laws now, and you're feminizing all of the males to think like women instead of thinking like men. Also, we live in a society where there is no authority figures because we've done away with them. As a matter of fact, in the black family, we've literally done away with the fathers. We've done away with the fathers. Fathers don't exist. Fathers do not exist anymore. I have no idea what a father talking with the son is all about. I still talk like a father when I talk to the boys that come around the house here. Yesterday I was having some words and one of the young men said, "Why do you talk to us like that?" I said, "Because I can and I will in my house." And I said, "Don't ever try to tell me how to address anybody in my house. I'm a man. And I'm the authority here. And I talk the way I want to talk, and nobody talks over me. That's just the way it is." Now, you know, if you don't like that, you can get out of my face. That's what authority looked like. But these young people don't believe in that. Now you got these young cops, and you've given them these badges and guns and this false sense of, you know, they all believe in Marvel comics, you know. They all think that they're superheroes. And so you give these guys these ornaments, these shiny buttons. It's ridiculous. And they don't have the slightest idea on how to formulate anything. And to say that they're afraid of a black man because he's black. Black man is not, but these are old stereotypical images that have been used. I'm 71. These stereotypical images have been used since the Civil War. There was a time in this country when you had more white boys in prison than blacks. But after slavery, now you imprisoning all the black people. Oh, and my goodness, once you look at the accomplishments of black athletes, black people with money, black people with power. I mean, I'm looking at these newscasts. The mayors of the major cities are black. The administrators are black administrators. You go into the Maryland, Washington, Maryland area, you have more black millionaires per capita in that part of the country than anywhere. They're making, blacks are making more of the paychecks than a lot of people in these inner cities. And the government keeps these societies going. You're just feeding the people on EBT cards. There's no money. Nothing's real. It's got to run out, people. And when it runs out, you know, you can keep printing the money like the socialists do and giving a free meal ticket. But at the same time, you don't understand, because when you put them on an EBT, they have to pay that back. See, they're in debt to the man for the rest of their lives. I've seen young men in debt. And I know because, and I'm not bragging, I have personally worked and paid good money and so that young black men can drive their cars down the street, because they handicap them with tickets because they never paid the ticket, so they handicap them. And then when they try to go get the registration, they owe $1,000 worth of tickets. And they've tripled. And now how's that black man going to ever get, well, he should have paid the ticket or he shouldn't have got it. No, he's stupid. He doesn't believe in authority. And so the black man has been, and the minority person, and any stupid person that doesn't take care of themselves the way the law requires of them, because we're living under this society. You know, and thank God we're not like these wild-ass African countries where people can just walk in your house and do anything they want to do to you, cut your head off, cut your tongue out, rape your wife and children right in front of you. See, there's certain countries in the world that has no law. When you think of the Boko Haram and those people over there in Africa, thank God we don't have that over here. But when I look at some of the mentality of some of these people that's living in the projects and the way they live and what you feed them, I cannot believe in the recent video clips when I see black women. Why are they all big as, not all of them, I should take that back. Why are so many of them big as elephants? And what is this? We need to stop eating this garbage that they're putting out there. A lady friend of mine came by to visit me last night. I haven't seen her in a bit. And I just prepared, well, I had some fish out to prepare for dinner. And you know, the boys eat here, they eat barbecue. I don't eat that stuff. I don't eat that barbecue and all that crap, man. You eat that stuff, man, your system gets all clogged up. So what I did is I made a simple plate, of food. And some fish, if you will, and just a simple plate. And I gave her some of the food, and I told her, I cook for me. I don't cook for these guys that come around here because they eat different kinds of food than I, and I don't eat that kind of food. And she had the meal with me, and we went out to get some dessert last night. And she said, you know what, John, that was quite delicious. And I said, well, you know, I cook for me, and I don't have a lot of money, don't have a lot of food. But the food that I do have, that I buy, is for me. It's not for anybody else. I eat certain fish. I know these boys don't like to eat it. I eat vegetables. I eat a little rice. I season it. Okay? Don't have any more money. No more money's coming in for me. Because all my money's gone. Got to pay the bills. And then I'm flat down on zero. Until I at least work another 30 days and make some money back. So I'll be 4 weeks without any income coming in, except for a little stipends and Social Security. But I'm good with that. I am very good with it. It doesn't bother me. Because I have learned how to survive in a world where it's difficult to survive in. And the lady ate the dinner, and she liked it and got up and got some more. She says, this is quite delightful. And I was telling her, we are living in the last days of the American benefits and blessings. And what we need to do, and I've been telling you people this for well over a year on my website, you need to stop eating all that food. You need to get yourself down to about basically one good healthy meal a day and as much liquids as you can drink that is good for you. Fruit juices, juices that are good for you. You know, you can keep yourself out of harm's way. Wow. I'm just seeing some things I've just never seen in my neighborhood before. Everything is changing. I see people walking up and down the street that I've never seen before. And these people look like one just got up out of bed, hair all over his head, and just walking around in a daze. It's happening all around. When I go to work and I have to drive through the city to get to certain freeway connections, I see people the way they're living, just sleeping on the corners, sleeping at bus stops. It is crazy, people. I'm telling you, it is crazy. And I see the evidence of God turning his back on America. I guess that's the way I can put it. You know, he's turning his back. He has forsaken this country. I think he's forsaken most of it because the people have become animals. We hear people. We hear. You don't need the police force. Listen, you coppers out there that listen to me. You don't need to side with your buddies that are criminals and killers. You really don't need to do that. You need to stand up against them. To hell with the core. When the core comes against the Republic. You know, that's where you do this. And if you ever think that you're going to find enough people that's going to join a police force to shut down the people of the country, well, you better bring in your foreign cops to govern this bunch of rebel rousers, and you better pay them real good, because it's going to be world war hell in this country. For those of you that are godly people, that are Christians, that believe in, you know, think about this young man whose family is left there talking about their dead brother and the mother there that can't even talk. What can she say? She can't say anything. See, because there's nothing to say. So I hope that maybe I don't know what I'm trying to share today. This is a Sunday morning. Usually I play a sermon. I can only imagine what the, you know what I should do? Because it's still time. Let's see. Yeah, I got time to throw on some clothes and to shave and to go and hear what they talking about in the church. I'm going visiting a church today. I'm just going to visit a church and see what they're talking about. That's what I'm going to do. And I'll get back with you. Hey, thanks for coming to the webcast. That's what I do this morning. Let me hear what the men of God are telling the people of God in the churches. I'll get back at you.